Dear listeners, Sai Ram. We now bring you Radio Sai Bhajan Classroom. Today's episode was first aired on 2nd June 2016 as part of Thursday Live programs on Asia Stream of Radio Sai. This program is hosted by Team Radio Sai's Bishu. Let us offer our most grateful and prayerful salutations at the lotus feet of our most beautiful, beloved Lord. Dearest Lord, please bless us so that in every moment of our lives, there is this silent prayer going on as an undercurrent in everything that we do. The prayer that, O Lord, please make us your instruments. Let all the love in our heart flow incessantly to Thee. Let every act that we do automatically become a service to Thee. Let every thought in our minds originate only to think of Thee. And let all limbs of our body and all the moments of our lives seek only to purify our souls so that every iota of our being clamors to merge in Thee. With this prayer, dear listeners, welcome to the fourth episode of this special series on the Satya Sai Arati. We started our discussion on the Satya Sai Arati 3 weeks before, and in every week we've been discussing about one stanza of the Satya Sai Arati. It is really significant that we understand why the arati is sung, how it has to be sung, what is the right pronunciation, what has Swami said about the significance of singing the Satya Sai Arati together, collectively, at the end of every bhajan session. So we discussed about all this in the first 3 episodes, and we continue that discussion in 3 more episodes in the coming 3 weeks. Today we discuss about the second stanza of the Satya Sai Arati. So you will listen to the lyrics and the tune of the second stanza, Mata Pita Guru Devam.
Mata Pita Guru Devamu Mari Antayu Nive Swami Mari Antayu Nive Nada Brahma Jagannatha Nada Brahma Jagannatha Nagendra Shayana Om Jai Jagadisha Hare. The Mangala Arati is sung in the scale C sharp Madhyam.
Mata Pita Guru Daivamu Mariantayu Nive Swami Mariantayu Nive Nada Brahma Jagannatha Nada Brahma Jagannatha Nagendrashayana Om Jai Jagadisha Hare.
We are now done with the tune and the lyrics of the second stanza of Satya Sai Arati. We discussed about the raga of the arati in the first episode of this program. Those of us who are interested in playing the song on musical instruments or want to know the notes of the song, please do refer to the first episode of this series where Brother Anirudh has clearly explained the notes and the technical structure of this composition. We now move on to the bhava aspect of the arati, the meaning of its every word. In the previous episode, we discussed the meaning of the first stanza of the arati, and today we take up the second stanza and discuss threadbare to the extent possible our reflections and understanding of what it connotes. I will now play with you the discussion that I had with Brother Amey Deshpande, a former student of Baba's University and a member of the Prashanti Mandir Bhajan group. Over 20-minute conversation, we discuss the meaning and the insights that come to us about the meaning of the second stanza.
Saram, Brother Amey, and welcome once again to Radio Sai Bhajan Classroom. And to this special episode,
where we are dwelling on Bhagwan's Aarti, the Sri Satya Sai Aarti.
Thank you, Brother Vishu, and Sai Ram to everyone.
So we have spent 3 sessions, and in the first 2 sessions we just were dwelling on the significance of the Aarti, why we should do Aarti, and then we moved on to the first stanza, Sashivadana. And I still remember those beautiful phrases from that first stanza.
Yes.
Sarva Pranapate and Ashrita Kalpalatika. Very beautiful. After that, we move on to the second stanza. Mata Pita Guru Daivamu Mari Antayu Neeve.
Yes.
Swami Mari Antayu Neeve. Again, this is a very, very powerful phrase, isn't it?
Yes. I guess Mari Antayu is everything else, right?
Yes.
Not only just mother, father, guru, but all other relations, and that's what it means.
Yeah, I think that's what Mari Antayu. Antayu perhaps means everything, right?
Correct.
You probably listed, listed 2-3, but
correct.
But you are basically everything for us.
Yes,
yeah.
Because he is the closest relative.
Hmm.
While you know, I remember this beautiful experience of when Mr. Atal Bihari Vajpayee.
Yes.
Was the Prime Minister of the country. And this was narrated to us by one of our senior professors, that there was a time when his party, his political party, had only 2 seats.
Yes.
In the parliament back in 1981.
Yes.
And at that time he had come to Bhagwan, and Swami had told him that you will become the Prime Minister. And it's a matter of, you know, it was a very humorous thing, because he himself felt, Swami, I mean, there's a limit to which you can play a prank, or, you know, you can be gracious. Swami, I can never become the Prime Minister. We're having like 2 seats, you know, in the parliament. And there was a time when he became, and at that time, apparently after he came out and he said, Swami, I don't know, whatever I become in life, no, don't stop me, means let me always have the permission to come to your lotus feet. See, such a beautiful prayer also, again, from a person of his stature. And Swami's answer was even more beautiful. So when Atal Bihari Vajpayee said that, Swami, let me always be welcome over here. Don't stop me ever from coming. And Swami's answer was, to come back to your home, do you need anybody's permission? Ma ke ghar aane ke liye kisi ki... do you need anybody's permission to come back to your mother's home?
Mm.
This is your mother's home. You're always welcome over here, irrespective of what you become. So that's why Mata Pita, I think, is... And years later, he went on to become the Prime Minister, couple of terms, 2-time Prime Minister. And currently he's suffering, very... obviously old age. And the last time when Bhagwan had been to Delhi, Swami actually visited his home, because he was not in a position to come for Swami's darshan. So Swami himself went to his house.
Wow.
And so some of the sevadals were telling us over there that they went to his house, and his house was absolutely, very simple, nobody around. And Swami spent quite some time talking to him. And then as they, stepped out of the house, Swami said, Dekho Vajpayee, when you were the Prime Minister of the country, you had all sorts of people around you. Okay. The IPS, IAS officers, ministers, army, foreign dignitaries, everybody was around you. Lekin abhi koi nahi hai. Now nobody is there. But then also I have come to see you.
Wow.
Yeah. No wonder he is Mari Antayu Neeve. Yes, right? Means even when the entire world will walk out on us, there will be one person who will always be standing next to us.
Yes.
And that is our Swami. Right. And so I think that is why this particular line has so much of significance, and it's actually a prayer of acknowledgement that I know, Swami, the whole world may leave me, but not you. You will be the one person,
because we might be just one person in the world, but we mean the world to him.
Correct. And therefore he should mean the world to us.
Correct.
Mari Antayu Neeve.
Yes.
Right, and I think the corollary to that is that because he makes us his world, we also must make him our world.
Our world.
I am just reminded of one other experience, and then we'll move on. One of our brothers had told that one day Swami was talking to him, and Swami said, in marriages, what happens? So he didn't know where Swami was going with it. So Swami, he said, no, Swami. And Swami said, first, no, all the guests sit for food. So the best of the food and the hot, everything goes to the guests. And after that, then the relatives eat. And then after that, then the bride and bridegroom and family eat. And after that, you know, it is given to, in case something is left, then the cooks and all the other people eat. And after that, if something is left, then it's given to the beggars. And after that, whatever is, this thing is thrown into the dustbin and dogs and crows and all eat. Says, Swami went on to say, my devotees give me love like that. After giving it to the rest of the world, jo bhi bacha kucha hai, whatever is left over, that is thrown, and I pine for that. You know? And when I remember when my friend was telling this, he was bitterly crying because he was, so he had just spoken to Swami about this, and Swami said, that is also okay for me, Swami was saying. So, you know, but just imagine the anguish that for someone whom we want as Apad Bandhava, you know, the moment we call out, he should come. Okay, what do we give him back in return? We give him the leftover of all our love in our life.
And for someone without whom that marriage would not have happened, you could not have even a grain of food.
I mean, every breath, right? Breath. We said he is every sarva, yes. Pranapate.
Exactly. That is what is going on continuously, you know, behind my, in the background, sarva pranapate.
Yes.
So we have to give, you know, Mariantayu Nive.
Yes.
Is basically a continuing from sarva pranapate.
Correct. So to a person who is actually the master of every breath, he should be the number one in our priority list.
Yes.
Right? That is why we are saying, you know, because at some point of time in our life, our parents are number one. Then, you know, our life partner becomes number one. Then our children become number one. Then our grandchildren become number one. When do we make him number one? Instead, what he is telling is, just start seeing me in all of these.
Yes.
Right? I am only your mother. I am only your father. And in that sense, actually, he has made it so much easier for us. Because I am also Sarva Pranapati once again, I am in your mother, your father, your guru, everything.
Yes.
And just try to identify me in them. Start loving me in them.
Yes.
Right? And then God will always be our number one.
Yes. I always feel that if we make God priority one in our lives, God also will make us priority one in His life.
Absolutely. Yes. And we have seen that time and again in the lives of saints.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yes.
You know, for God, they are priority.
Absolutely. Yeah. He pines for that. In fact, if I can go to this extent of saying that there is nothing that the Lord cannot achieve without a human form. Right?
Correct.
Why then does He take a human form? It is only to enjoy the love of His devotees.
Yes.
And, absolutely. You know, I often used to say when Swami would cry, when Tyagaraja Kritis would go on, actually, I would say, you know what, bad timing, man. I used to tell, look at Swami, why did you come now? Right? See, if Swami really wanted, no, he should have taken avatar during Tyagaraja's time. He could have had his own personal MP3 player. I mean, live, you know, Tyagaraja sing. Just imagine, for Tyagaraja, it would have been the best thing.
Yeah.
Right? And today you are crying for his songs. Right? You could have actually come when he was around. Your avatar could have been in the 17th century or 15th century, I'm not sure when Tyagaraja was, but some at that time, or when Mirabai was there, because these people really pined for you, okay, and you would have also been so happy being with them, you know, you would have finally found your bhakta, your true bhakta,
yes.
And yet, he chooses a time when these so-called, now these are there, you know, these icons, these iconic legends are not there, and then he makes us sing their songs and then he cries on it. I think only to show us that, you know what, that is how much I love them.
Love them.
Then even when they are not there, no, I still think about them.
Them.
And I want you to become like them.
Like them. Absolutely.
You know, what a selflessness from his side.
Yeah.
To given up the enjoyment of listening to them physically directly and listening to us with all our disqualifications in every way. Mm-hmm. Bhava, Raga and Tala, all the three. Yes. So that is the importance he has given to us. No? So, therefore, definitely he is everything for us.
Amazing.
So, then we can move to the next one. So, Mata Pita Guru Daivam Mariantayu Nive.
I think this is the only word which is Telugu.
Yes.
Isn't it? Mari Antayu Nive.
Yes. Otherwise, and of course, in the next
now, what you have seen is almost everything is Sanskrit.
Sanskrit, correct. The next one, I think, is Anduko.
Anduko,
Mangala Arati Anduko.
Yes.
I think these are the only two or three words which are actually Telugu.
Mm. Just like Bhagwan's Telugu has a lot of Sanskrit in it.
Correct.
The Arati also is actually largely Sanskrit.
Largely Sanskrit, yes.
Yeah.
It had to be in a universal.
Yes, absolutely.
So the next word is then Nagin Nada Brahma Jagannatha Nagendra Shayana Om Jai Jagadishaya. So once again, very quickly to delve into this, Nada Brahma is a very beautiful word.
Yes.
To go a little bit into the depth, why is God called Nada Brahma? So if you look at the five elements, in Taittiriya Upanishad, it says it gives the genesis of creation, right? And we say Akashad Vayoho Vayor Agnihi Agni Rapaha Abhyah Prithivi Prithivya Oshadayaha Oshadibhyonam. And then it basically starts from, so basically they've kind of given us a genesis of creation.
Yes.
That first there is space, from space comes air, from air comes fire, from fire comes water, from water comes earth, from earth comes
food.
Yeah, from food, which actually nourishes us.
Yeah.
Creates the body, nourishes us.
Yeah.
So the most subtle is space.
Yes.
And probably the most gross is this human body, or yes, Prithvi.
Yes.
If we can call it. And if you look at the Pancha Tanmatras, that is Shabda, Sparsha, Rupa, Rasa, Gandha, these are the five properties with which we enjoy the world.
Yes.
That is sound, touch, smell, form, and smell and taste. So if you look at these Pancha Tanmatras, they actually have got, for example, you look at the most grossest of
yes,
all five elements, earth, it has got all the five.
Yes.
And as we keep going subtler and subtler, one by one, you know, they start dropping out.
Yes.
So if you look at earth, it has all Shabda, yes, Sparsha, Rupa, Rasa, Gandha.
Yes.
Then you go to water, Gandha is not there. It has Shabda, Sparsha, Rupa and Rasa.
Yes.
Okay. It does not have Gandha. It doesn't have smell. Water typically is odorless. Then you go to fire, one more drops out. You have, yes, only Shabda, Sparsha, yes, and Rupa. There's no Rasa and there's no Gandha. Then you go to air, it has only two, Shabda and Sparsha. It doesn't have. Finally, you go to space and it has only one, which, yes, is Shabda.
Yes.
Which means that for the subtlest element, the subtlest property is sound. Right? And that is why it is said that, you know, even in scientific this thing, the creation actually started with a big bang.
Yes.
Bang is again a sound.
Yes.
Right? We also say Om is the beginning of all creation. Even the Christianity, in Christianity, they say first there was the Word.
Yes.
The Word was God.
Yes.
Right? So it is the Word. It's a sound.
Yeah.
And that is why so much importance is given to sound. And Nada is nothing but sound. And that is what is actually pulsating and vibrating in each of our bodies. That vibration, you know, that sound. And so in fact, because in a sense we have actually come from that Big Bang. All of us have come from the same Big Bang. You know, it's a very interesting, just slight detour. The scientists were actually wondering, how is it ever possible, you know, that all of whatever we know, everything, all the billions and billions of galaxies with trillions and trillions of stars, how could have they come from a single moment of truth? So, which means there probably would have been several smaller big bangs, you know, small bangs.
Mm-hmm.
There would have been one primary big bang.
Mm.
And, you know, to kind of enjoy that big bang, there would have been other small bangs which would have come in, you know, whatever, 14 billion years of existence. Because, and as they were doing the calculations, they found no. In fact, it all started at that one point of time. Can you imagine?
Mm-hmm.
And therefore, the debate that is, how can something emerge from nothing?
Nothing.
So there should have been some cause, okay, there should have been something from which, something emerged, right? And that is where, you know, philosophy kind of then starts moving in. So it is that one primary sound, that's why it's called pranava.
Yes.
Okay, Om. So in that sense, how important is this, you know, Nada Brahma? When we say that he is Brahma, actually means vastness. So this entire vastness of whatever we are seeing came out of that single Nada.
And he permeates this entire
absolutely
creation.
Because it has come through him.
Yeah.
he also expresses himself through all of this.
Just that we are not able to cognize that sound. I think just like you have to tune yourself to listen to God, even for us to, we have to tune ourselves to listen to that sound, that primeval sound which is happening all the time around us in every little speck of the universe.
Correct. Swami himself says, no, you just probably put your ear to a pole and you will find one sound coming, which is nothing but Om. Right? The buzzing of the bee, the dropping of the know, water from the drop, the droplet. Yes. Every drop is telling us this Om.
And I think even this nada has so many categories to it. The sounds that you can easily cognize, the sounds that are very subtle.
Correct.
And I think whenever this word is uttered, what comes to my mind is, you know, how Bhagwan used to mention in his discourse, it's Shabda Brahmamayi, Characharamayi, Vangmayi, you know. How Swami used to give so much importance to every word we speak. And actually, as a student at that point in time, I used to think, Swami, what is this so great? You know, these are normal words. I mean, we just speak these words. What is so great about, just like, you know, many times Swami will tell, Narajanma Durlabham, you know, Jantunam Narajanma Durlabham. You will feel, what is so great, Swami? Everybody has a body. So what is the big thing to congratulate yourself with? same thing here. I used to many times feel, Swami, why are you giving so much importance to word? I mean, everybody speaks a word. What is the big deal? But you know, when you go deeper, you know that, oh my God, actually word has so much power actually.
Exactly. Yeah. Also because I think, Swami gives this example of fire, snake, right? By just when we shout out, when we yell out, fire, it starts so many physical processes in us. We start perspiring. There's a sense of fear which nobody has actually seen the fire.
Yes.
You've not even experienced the fire. But just the word is creating so much of an impact on us. So that is also the power of, sound. And of course, and then, I mean, Swami says, no, if I just look at the photograph and say, you know, that fellow is an idiot, you know, and that person happens to be standing over there next to the photo. It's just a word, right? Idiot is just a word. Why are you getting so carried away by it? He's not physically harming you. He's not, but that is the power of words. Yeah. And in fact, you can recover from a slip of the leg, but you cannot recover from the slip of the tongue.
Yes.
So that in that sense also, it is a very, there's a lot of importance attached to the kind of words that we that
and here speak. When we are saying Nada Brahma, we are saying that everything has originated from that primeval sound, and that is that primeval sound which pervades everything.
Yes, which is then referred to in the next Omkara Rupa.
Yeah, in the next stanza.
Stanza, yes.
And here again you have that same idea of all pervasiveness expressed in the next phrase, Jagannatha.
Jagannatha, correct. So whatever, like Jagannatha is again Pate, Sarva Prana Pate, Jagannatha. So I think the beautiful word over there is Natha.
Yeah.
Okay, so Swami says, no, he is only Anatha in this whole world.
Yes.
Nobody else is an Anath because there is always God for them.
Yes.
So Anath means orphans.
Yes.
And he is also called as Anathanatha.
Yeah.
That is the support of or the one who is always with, you know, the orphans. And so now when we are saying that he is Jagannath, it's a very beautiful this thing that, yeah, I always will have something in, you know, somebody with me.
Yes.
I'll never be an orphan. And of course, Jagannath is a beautiful, is a great, great temple.
Yeah.
And the beauty of the temple is that it is equally venerated by Buddhists, by Shaivites, by Vaishnavites, that is the followers of Shiva, the followers of Vishnu. So it's a very, very universal temple. And it's one of the major, major temples on the east coast of India. So, so I think it's a reference also possibly, you know, some people maybe from that area will refer to, my Jagannath is here.
Mm. And of course, Lord Jagannath is considered as the Kali Yuga form of the Lord, you know, because after Lord Krishna departed, after the Dwapara Yuga concluded, it is said, that when Lord Krishna's body was burnt, the navel part of the body did not get burnt.
Oh.
And that is what floated on the water. If you go to the story of how the shrine in Puri has come about, it is that part of Lord Krishna's body which floats on the water and reaches the shores on the east coast. And there is a big story about how God comes in the dream of the king.
The king, yeah. I know
Indradumna,
that one.
And right. Then, you know, he builds the temple. So, in Kali Yuga, that's why he is worshipped as the Lord Krishna, who is now present in Kali Yuga as Lord Jagannatha. And that is what is Bhagwan.
Yes.
Kali Yuga Avatar.
Kali Yuga Avatar, yes. Yeah. And of course, then we come to the next word, which is Nagendra Shayana. So again, the metaphorical or rather the pictorial understanding of that would be the one who is sleeping on the serpent. But this serpent, you'll find it often comes, you know, so Shankara, for example, Shiva also has a serpent around
serpent,
his.
Yes.
And then Vishnu also has a serpent.
And all are poisonous serpents.
Yeah, and poisonous serpents, yeah, they're cobras.
Cobras.
Yeah, and then even around
Ganesha.
Ganesha's stomach, yes. Pasham Kushedhara, that's why he's called.
Yes.
So, you find this coming all the time. So, it has a lot of symbolic significance in our way of thinking. It is considered that at the Mooladhara, which is the first chakra,
yes,
is actually a coiled serpent.
Yes.
And in the Kundalini, which is our innate energy, it actually is in the form of the serpent.
Yes.
And it is this Nagendra Shayana that is why in several of our Vedic chants, we have Mula Dhara Stitosi Nityam, whether it is Ganesha or whether it is Vishnu,
yes.
It is said that he sleeps or he is, you know, in the dormant form at the Mooladhara, which is our chakra. And even this chakra concept is a fantastic concept because of all the chakras that we have got back in those days, you know, when there was hardly any scientific development, where the chakras are situated are exactly where our glands are situated. You know, the pituitary, the thyroid, right, the hypothalamus. All of these glands are exactly in line with where these chakras are supposed to be. And the glands are supposed to be called as the factories of the body. Because they are the ones, if you control them, you are able to control your entire physical well-being and mental well-being. In fact, the thyroid or the pituitary, we know how important these are.
Yes.
They act as, you know, generators of hormones.
Yes.
And strangely, if you map the two, the glands and the chakras, they're exactly, you know, where Patanjali mentions our chakras is exactly where each of our glands are situated in the body. So right from the Mooladhara, right, yes, up to the Sahasrarka chakra,
yes,
all of them are exactly in. So in fact, it's a very scientific thing. And a lot of people are now beginning to understand the significance of, you know, what is this Mooladhara or Manipura and Swadhisthana, yes, etc. That probably there are some energy centers in our body, which when controlled,
yes,
okay, start to define how our well-being is.
Yes.
Right. So medical field, tremendous, this thing has, developments have taken. So now we are referring to Swami as the one who is resident in the Mooladhara, which is the Nagendra Shayana. So I think that is also very beautiful. Pictorially, yes, it looks very nice. The thousand-headed serpent with the Lord sleeping. But possibly the, you know, the inner significance that he is again our indweller and he is in the dormant form. He is sleeping, waiting for,
yes,
us to awaken him within us and to realize our true divinity. Okay, so he is dormant and he is sitting over there at the Mooladhara chakra.
And of course, the other significance is you have these poisonous serpents, but even though they are so poisonous, you know.
Correct.
They are with the Lord. They are completely subdued.
Yes.
When they are in the Lord's presence. And I think that is again a very powerful lesson that, you know, you have these six-hooded or seven-hooded serpents and they perhaps refer to all our weaknesses. Kama, Krodha, Lobha, yeah. Shadaripus and Ahankara. So, you can really subdue them only when you have the Lord as your Pranapate, only when you have your Lord as Marianta Yunive. Only when we have that kind of a supplication attitude, can we protect ourselves? Will we be able to subdue these powerful forces?
Yes. In fact, Swami also goes on to give us a very nice idea of, even if you're not able to subdue it, why don't you channelize it towards God?
Yes.
The same anger Channelize it towards God. Channelize it to your own self.
Absolutely.
Why is it that I'm not able to? You know, the frustration can be towards, Swami, I want to be closer to you.
Yes.
You know, or or the desire, for example, karma.
Yeah.
Right? Karma can be for mukti, for moksha.
Yes.
Right? So, I mean, Swami has given an entirely new definition to, so probably if you channelize these shadripus to God, then automatically he will start reclining on them and, you know, all of them become subservient and they add beauty to his presence.
Absolutely.
Yeah. So that's also possibly one way of looking at it.
Yes. And I think, you know, and aarti, as we discussed in the beginning, the significance of aarti, one way of looking at it is, you know, you are constantly putting into the fire these evil qualities.
Correct.
And I think, you know, every time we chant this, sing this line, Nagendra Shayana, if you can all the time think, you know, let me offer these poisonous traits within me to the fire, you know, then, you know, that poison will turn into something which will beautify the Lord.
Yes.
I think.
So Amrutam will come out of it.
Amrutam will come out of it. And, I think we can go on discussing, everything is so profound actually.
Exactly.
Absolutely. But I think we have done laid some foundation for people to dwell more. And I'm sure if we have one whole day, we can take each word and discuss, because everything is so profound.
Absolutely. Yeah.
And the aarti, I think that's why as we discussed before, it is a way of seeing the Lord, envisioning the Lord. It's a darshan of the Lord.
Correct.
And the more you dwell on that, the more meanings will come out of it. Beautiful. Thank you very much, Brother Amey. And probably I request that, you know, we continue this conversation in the coming episodes and dwell on the other two stanzas left in the aarti.
Sure, definitely.
Yeah. Thank you very much.
Thank you. Sairam. Sairam.
So that was Brother Amey Deshpande, a member of the Prashanti Mandir Bhajan group, an accomplished musician and a singer in the Sanctum Sanctorum of Prashanti Nilayam. Brother Amey Deshpande has been an invaluable member of the Prashanti Mandir Bhajan group, and we will continue this discussion with him in two more episodes of this special series on Satyasai Aarti in Radio Sai Bhajan Classroom. Dear listeners, do tell us what you feel about this program. If what we discussed made sense to you, maybe there are insights and reflections that you have. Maybe there are more things that Bhagwan has said which we have missed out. Do share with us your reflections and views on the meaning and the bhava aspect of the Satyasai Aarti. As always, you can write to listener@radiosai.org. Before we wind up this special episode, let's listen once again to the Satyasai Aarti and sing it with devotion, with the new understanding that we have attained in the last few minutes.
Om Jai Jagadish Hare, Swami Satyasai Hare, Bhakta Jana Sangrachaka, Bhakta Jana Sangrachaka, Pati Maheshwara, Om Jai Jagadish Hare. Shivana Shri Tara, Sarva Prayapati, Swami Sarva Prayapati, Ashrita Kalpanatita, Ashrita Kalpanatita, Aparvara, Om Jai Jagadish Hare. Pita Guru Deva Tu Mariyam Tayu Nive, Swami Mariyam Tayu Nive, Nara Brahma Jagatatha, Nara Brahma Jagatatha, Kavita Jayata, Om Jai Jagadish Hare. Kaja Rupa Rujam Vila Sai Mahadeva, Satya Sai Mahadeva, Mangala Arati Amrita, Mangala Arati Amrita, Mangala Vihari, Om Jai Jagadish Hare. Narayana Narayana Om Jai Narayana 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 Narayana
So that was the Satya Sai Aarti, and our discussion on the Aarti continues. As mentioned before, we have two more episodes on the Aarti where we'll go on to discuss the meaning of the third stanza of the Aarti, and then in the last episode we will talk about the last part of the Satya Sai Aarti. The audio engineers for this program are Sunil and Abhishek, and the background score was done by another alumnus from Chennai, T.S. Ramakrishnan. With prayers in our heart and gratitude in our minds, we offer this program at the lotus feet of our most beautiful, beloved Bhagwan.
You were listening to an episode of our program Radio Sai Bhajan Classroom. This episode was first aired on 2nd June 2016 as part of Thursday Live from Prashanthi Nilayam on Asia Stream of Radio Sai Global Harmony. This program was hosted by Team Radio Sai's Bishu. Thank you and Sai Ram.